Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The few times that I've seen Kenya and Mark together, I've never seen them lovey-dovey. It's always like he's standing over here and she's standing over. It's almost like it's an agreement.
All of the couples seem to be happy, just enjoying each other so much. I'm just really disappointed.
Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic. I'm Danny Pellegrino. We have so much to talk about today. Of course, we have this week's Real Housewives of Atlanta, which I found bone-chilling. I thought Mark Daly is a villain for the ages. Truly do not like him. I want Kenya to find someone brand new. I do not like this Mark Daly. He is treating her so poorly. That fourth wall was broken and we saw Mark Daly just acting like a complete monster. I do not care for him. Although he is very compelling to watch on TV, but he's an asshole monster. I do not like him. So we're going to talk about that. We also have to talk about the New Jersey reunion, which started off with a bang, I thought. I thought the New Jersey reunion was good. We'll talk about that. And then we also have Hannah Berner from Summer House on the show. If you want to listen to my chat with Hannah Berner, you could just skip ahead. I'll put the timestamps in the episode description. But Hannah and I got to chat about the season of Summer House. And then also Luke, her co-star from Summer House, that hot male model, he called her in the interview. So we also got to chat with Luke. So there's a lot going on. Before we get to the recap, I have to say there are still tickets available left for Dallas for the live show. If you want to come see me, go to everythingiconic.com. At the top of the page, you can click live shows and there'll be a link to the Dallas to buy tickets. And then next week, I'll be in Atlanta and Dallas. I'm so super excited. The shows are going to be really fun. We'll be talking Vanderpump Rules. We'll touch on Atlanta Housewives. We'll be talking about it all. I know a lot of people are asking what we're going to recap. And next week, we'll be talking Vanderpump Rules. But we'll dip into every... When I'm in Dallas, of course, I'm going to have to touch on the Dallas Housewives. When I'm in Atlanta, of course, I'm going to have to touch on Atlanta Housewives. So we'll have lots to talk about. I think it'll be a really fun time. I'm super excited. So that's the that on that. I want to say this week's Atlanta, you guys, so, so good. I thought it was fantastic. Maybe the best episode of the season. I love when we break that fourth wall and we got a hot mic moment. It was a Jinx-esque moment. It was really, really good. But we open on Eva's baby shower, which is at Natasha's house, her friend Natasha's house. And I know she has some stuff with the house, but it was a little bizarre to me that we're at someone named Natasha, who I don't think has ever even spoken on this show before. And Nene said, we don't even know if Eva has a house. That's what she said in her confessional. That's what she said in her confessional. And it was a Midsommar-themed baby shower. Everyone was wearing the flower crowns as if they were going to Coachella, like they were Vanessa Hudgens at Coachella. They were all wearing the flower crowns, which I appreciated. Portia's flower crown was really doing it for me. The flower work on Portia's head was fantastic. I don't know if she got a different one, if she ordered it from somewhere else, if she had it specially made, but it looked fantastic. And LaKenya shows up. They all are at this baby shower, which I was surprised that Kenya was there because her and Eva have such a contentious relationship. And then even I was most concerned about Candy arriving late because did you notice all the women were sitting down eating and talking and Candy wasn't there. And then Candy arrived late and we know that Candy is the one who likes to eat most on camera. Okay, she's the one who eats most on camera, and she didn't arrive until very late, and I wondered, did they keep the food out for her? Did she just come from eating? Like, I was very concerned for Candy because I thought she's probably so disappointed that they all ate without her. And then I didn't see her eat after that. I wondered what was going on. Did she get a chance to get that food? I don't know. It was Caribbean food. It looked fantastic. Oh, and you guys, know who was at this baby shower? Queen icon legend Miss Juicy. I don't know if you saw this. Miss Juicy's a little person who's the star of Little Women Atlanta on Lifetime. Now, this reality show, Little Women Atlanta, is fantastic. And if you don't ever watch that show, you probably see Miss Juicy memes on the internet. She is so, so funny. And I've said this on the show before. I think Miss Juicy needs to join the cast of The Real Housewives of Atlanta. And here she is, integrated into the group flawlessly. I don't know why she didn't get a confessional, why she didn't even get a speaking part on this week's episode. I was so disappointed. But I was excited to see her. I think Miss Juicy, you guys, early on in my podcast, I interviewed her and it was really good. it was one of the first episodes I ever did, but she did make me wait like an hour and a half past our scheduled time for the interview, but I didn't even care because I was so excited to chat with Miss Juicy. Also, right before the interview, she had blocked me on social media, and then we had an interview set up, so it wasn't really... I, like, asked her on air. I was like, so you blocked me? And she's like, what? Anyway, I love Miss Juicy. I love her. I worship her. Now, all the women at this baby shower, they were doing that toilet paper dress game, which I thought was a bridal shower game. I never saw it. I thought it's a bachelorette party game, a bridal shower. I don't know why they were doing toilet paper wedding gowns. Maybe I missed something. You know, occasionally things slip past me. Last week on the show, I had said that Marlo was saved in Candy's phone as Marlo News. You guys, I got corrected so many times. Many people told me that it was actually saved as Marlo New Number, but I didn't see that hashtag. Everyone was like, why did you say it was Marlo News? And I was like, I don't know. I thought that's what it said, but people told me it was Marlo New Number. So occasionally I miss things, but I didn't understand why they were doing toilet paper wedding gowns at a baby shower. A baby shower. Frank from Father of the Bride. I always want to say baby shower the way he did. But anyway, unfortunately, I can't just be Frank full time. But the point is, we have this event that's called the Black Lab, I believe it was called, and it's for Black men to talk to younger Black men. It's being put on by Kenya's Mark. And so they're throwing this thing, and everyone's invited, although Kenya was upset that Nene and Greg were invited. But everyone's going to be there. Kenya even apologized to Tanya for calling her the See You Next Tuesday. And so they're all going to be over there. We also should just briefly touch on the transitional music this week. There was a song that went like this. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the diva of them all? I wake up in the morning with the nicest legs, in the kitchen cooking bacon, rice, and eggs. I'm a diva. I'm a diva. I don't like to beg. I make my own grits and a side of steg. I'm not sure that that last word was steg, but I tried my best to decode it. And unfortunately, I didn't have the closed captioning on because it wasn't working at the time. So I'm not sure exactly what that last transitional lyric was. But the point is, the transitional music on this show is truly next level these days. I'm not sure what's happening, but it's next level. So then we cut to a scene of Candy self-taping. She's going up for a role. And a lot of people online were saying this, that maybe this was like a promotional thing. You know how Bravo does like those in-episode commercials for movies? Some people were thinking that's what this was. Like it was a commercial for the show. Was it The Chi? Is that what she was auditioning for? And I didn't actually think it was a commercial, although it was very aggressive marketing. And I think Candy ended up getting the role because I think she's in this show now. Unclear. But the point is, Don Juan was there, and it was revealed that there's nudity for this role, and Candy's playing like a very masculine, energetic, or masculine energy woman. And I think we need to watch this. What's going on? Did it air? I need to go see. I'll look it up after this podcast. But Candy reveals that Todd wants to be in control, and he wants Candy to take a back seat, and that's not how it's going to be. And I've been saying this for weeks now. I don't like this controlling side of Todd, and I'm glad I'm not too concerned with Candy because I think Candy's a boss-ass bitch, and I don't think she's going to let Todd control her in that way. But it does trouble me a little bit the way that she's speaking about how Todd is speaking to her. Does that make sense? Anyway, then we cut to a scene of Cynthia and Kenya chatting at Lake Bailey with some guacamole. And look, I just have to say, every single scene Cynthia Bailey's in, she's got some sort of a Mexican side dish. She's got some guacamole, some salsa. A couple weeks ago, we saw her at the wine cellar with wine glasses filled with salsa. That's not what you put salsa in, Cynthia Bailey. And here she was making guacamole, and I don't know what's going on, if she's about to open a Mexican restaurant or what. But it seems to me that she's really pushing the Mexican appetizers. And so we've seen every single scene she's in, she's pushing a tortilla chip, a nacho, a salsa, a guacamole. What's next? Enchiladas? She's going to be coming after Sheena's enchilada recipe before we know it. I mean, it's truly... truly, truly shocking. And I can't watch it. I'm on a little bit of a diet these days. I'm trying to eat healthy. Let's take a little detour here. I've actually been eating healthy the best I can lately. And Matt's been cooking very healthy. He's been making all sorts of really healthy stuff. And he's been not letting me eat the junk food that's in the house. So we haven't actually had any junk food in the house. So when I want a sweet or cookie or something like that, I have to like go to the store and sneak it. And recently I had gone to the store. We have a grocery store that's in walking distance. Gone to the store and I was really craving something sweet. Now I know I can't bring it in the house because he'll either throw it away or yell at me, shame me and eating it. And so I went to the store, and there were these cookies, these chocolate chip cookies. They come in a pack of four at the grocery store, and they're cheap. But I love them. I love them so much. So I see them there, and I'm thinking, okay, Matt's going to be mad. I can't bring that whole bag, but I wanted just like one. You know, I didn't want to eat the whole pack, but I wanted one. So recently, I went and I got the four pack. And then as I was leaving, I thought, I can't bring these back in the house, but there's a homeless woman that sits very close by to that grocery store. And I see her all the time. And so I thought, you know what? I'll eat one. I'll give her the rest of the other three cookies. And then I'll get home and it'll be good. Matt will be none the wiser that I had this chocolate chip cookie. So then a couple days go by and I'm like really on the brim. I'm really stressed. And I'm thinking I really need to just like closet eat some snacks. So I go to the grocery store and they have these donuts. And so they were like two for a dollar because they were and not old, but they were, you know, when they do the discount donuts. They were two for a dollar, and I thought, I can't eat two, and I can't bring the other donut in to the house because Matt will yell at me. So I get one donut, and I'm thinking, okay, I'll give the other one to the woman outside. Great. That's nice. So I get one donut. I eat it right outside the grocery store, and I give this nice woman the other donut. I go on my merry way. Another couple days go by, and Matt's like, hey, do you want to run to the grocery store? Like, let's get some food for dinner. So we decide to walk there together. Walk to the grocery store and get our groceries, and we leave, and we're going past the woman, and I kind of like nod my head at her, but at this point, I don't have any sweets for her, and we're waiting for the light, so she's right by the traffic light, so we're waiting for the light to tell us we can cross the street, so we're waiting right by this woman, and I say hello, and then she says, do you have any donuts for me? And I said, oh no, I don't have any. And I'm thinking in my head, like, fuck, like Matt's going to know that I'm giving this woman sweets and that I'm eating them myself as well. So, well, I just politely said, I said, no, I don't have any donuts for you. She goes, how about cookies? And at this point, Matt looks at me and he's like, what's going on here? Like, why do you have this rapport with this woman where she's asking you for sweets? And I said, no, I don't have any cookies. And she goes, well, do you have anything for me today? You usually do. And I'm thinking, fuck, Matt's looking at me. And so we, of course, look in the bag and we had some of these healthy, those tortilla chips that are, they're not even tortilla chips. Those siete tortilla chips. They're like gluten-free chips. So I give her the bag and I'm thinking like, please, in my head, I'm thinking, Matt, don't ask me about this. Don't ask me about this. Don't ask me about this. So right when we walk past her, we cross the street, he goes, why does that woman think you have donuts and cookies for her? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, who knows? I don't know why she's asking me that. And then he's like, you've given her donuts and cookies before. And I was like, maybe once in a while, like I have. And he's like, well, she's never asked you for them before. And I was like, well, you know, I might have gone to the grocery store and given her some leftover cookies and donuts. And he's like, why did you buy those? And he starts yelling at me. So then at this point, Matt's mad at me. The homeless woman is mad at me. Everyone's mad at me because of what I thought was a nice gesture of giving away some cookies and donuts. But it turns out I'm being shamed for it. So then I have to convince Matt that I'm eating healthy, and he does not believe me at any point now. Now he just thinks I'm going to the grocery store at every given moment of the day. Anytime I leave the house, he's like, are you going to go to the grocery store again and closet eat some sweets? No. Like, no. I've been shamed in my own household, you guys. And then the woman's always expecting me to give her some desserts. As if I'm Mrs. Fields, she's expecting me to hand her some desserts every time I walk past her. And I've really gotten myself into a pickle. And so I just encourage you, you know, be careful out there. And the woman does not want the siete chips. She does not want those gluten-free chips. She wants the donuts. She wants the cookies. She wants the good stuff. And I respect that because I'm the same way. But now I'm being shamed in my own household. And I can't even leave the house with somebody thinking I'm closet eating on the road. So it's a rough go. Anyway, where were we here on The Real Housewives of Atlanta? We have to talk about the Wendy Williams call. Wendy Williams. Wendy Williams called NeNe Leakes. Wendy fucking Williams called NeNe Leakes, which I'm shocked that Wendy Williams is on the show. And there were these rumors a while back that Wendy Williams might join The Real Housewives of New York. And seeing her on Atlanta, I was thinking, I wonder if Wendy's testing the waters with the Housewives, because maybe she would think that she could possibly go. It was interesting to me. I liked this phone call with Wendy Williams. I really enjoyed it. But NeNe talks to her about Greece. So all the women are going to Greece. And NeNe's like, I don't know if I want to go. Wendy says that she needs to make up with Kenya. Wendy Williams, I have a very love-hate relationship with, because on her show, she oftentimes says stuff that is so awful. But then oftentimes I love watching her show. So it's a very love-hate relationship. I don't know if she's the greatest human being, but do I often like when she's doing Hot Topics on my TV? Of course. Of course. But then we got to talk about how Nene's face looks face-tuned in the episodes, doesn't it? Have you guys noticed Nene's confessional look? It looks like her face is face-tuned. It looks beautiful, but it looks like an entirely new face that's face-tuned. I think there was a moment where she was talking to Wendy Williams, and Wendy said something about her face, and Nene's like, I have done nothing to this face. And I'm thinking, what? Is there a filter on her? Like, what's happening? Is the Sierra filter on her, Nene's face? Like, what's going on? There's definitely a filter on the screen. And I wonder if that was written into the contract, because there is an Instagram filter on Nene's confessional. It is what it is. It is what it is. Anyway, we cut to Mark and Kenya getting ready for this charity event. He's being an asshole. He says that what Kenya picked out for him to wear is not appropriate. And he like says he hates the tie. And Kenya says, look, you asked me last minute to get you an outfit. This is all they had. He's just so fucking exhausting. What a fucking dick. Fucking hate him. He's just such an asshole to her. And Kenya's a beautiful gal, and here she is getting him an outfit. And then she goes to get ready, and he's like, you're getting ready before me? It's like, yeah, fuck you. Of course she's getting ready before you. She's a woman, and she's got to do her hair, her makeup. She just went shopping for you. She probably needs to unwind for a minute before she gets ready. Like, leave her the fuck alone. Ugh, I never thought I would stand this hard for Kenya Moore. But here I am, because he's just treating her, like, so poorly. So poorly. And then at the event, Cynthia's mic is, like, doing a speech and hosting. And Mark, like, ignores him right off the bat. He's just such an asshole. Such an asshole. I gotta say, I've been saying all the men on Atlanta are pretty bad, but I think Eva's husband is actually very nice. He seems like a nice guy. So I just want to give him the props. He seems like a very nice man. As far as I know, maybe I missed something, but as far as I know, Eva's husband seems really lovely. And I just would like to say that. I want to know that I'm being heard. I don't know that I'm being heard. Anyway, then Mark doesn't say one word about Kenya. It's so tragic. It's so uncomfortable. There was also an a cappella performance of Amazing Grace that was the slowest version I've ever heard. It was just like, Amazing Grace. Did you guys catch that version of Amazing Grace? I kept looking at my watch. I'm like, is this an extended episode? Like, what's that? It was an extended episode, but it was like Amazing Grace took up 20 minutes of the episode. I'm like, I don't know that we needed the whole verse. It literally took 20 minutes for them to get through the first verse of Amazing Grace. And it was the slowest performance I've ever seen in my entire life. And it's a beautiful song. I know it's got religious tones to it, but it was just so fucking slow. Never heard anything like it. Amazing Grace. So fucking slow. Like, speed it up. I was like shouting at my screen, speed it up. Hurry up and get there sooner. Like, what is going on? And then Marlo, she gets there and she's upset right off the bat because she's not sitting with the group. I do love Marlo with the nephews. I think Marlo, it's like that movie Raising Helen. Did you guys ever see that with Queen Icon legend Kate Hudson? It reminds me of that, like Marlo's relationship with the kids. I would like to see Marlo remake that film. Or I'd like to have a spinoff show. You know, we've been calling on Marlo to get a peach on Atlanta. And I would like if Marlo just got a spinoff show called Raising Marlo that was based on Raising Helen. Because that's the kind of television I need. But anyway, Marlo, she decides to stay. Kenya tells Marlo to just be happy she's in the room. And then Kenya's talking to Candy about Marlo and this whole chair situation, which I love when there's chair drama. Nothing better on Housewives than when there's chair drama. We had it on a Jersey this week too, which was exciting. But the point is, Kenya is telling Candy about it and talking shit about Marlo. And then Mark is like not taking her side again. And it's just getting out of hand at this point. Like, Mark is never on Kenya's side. It's so hard to watch. It's cringy. And then we see Mark giving an interview saying he hates marriage. He says, everybody knows that. And then he talks about it being invasive, meaning the cameras. Oh, you guys, this last scene, this last 5 minutes, Mark says, tell them to stop filming. They have 5 more minutes. And if they don't, I'm going to stop it and it'll be ugly. End it. Whoo, you guys, I had chills. The whole last 10 minutes of this episode, I thought, were just so chilling. And then at the end, it said they separately announced that they'll get a divorce. This was an episode for the ages. This was an episode. They gave it to us an episode, finally. And next week, we get to Greece. Atlanta's firing on all cylinders right now. I'm very into it. Very, very into it. Loving it. But this Mark's got to go. It's got to go. He's good TV, but he's got to go. G2G, he's got to go. We got to talk about New Jersey. You guys, the reunion is here. I was very excited about it. You guys know how I love chair drama. And Danielle, in the preview for this reunion, she's saying she has to sit next to Andy or else. And that's exciting. This reunion is also at like a very huge theater. It's a big theater. It looks like a big house. I don't know why they were filming at such a huge theater, but it looks great. There was like an homage to the season one reunion. So like the flooring was similar and there's like some sort of picture in the background that was like the season one. The women all look great. I love Teresa's hair jewelry. I didn't love the bottom of her gown, but I loved her hair and makeup, especially. Jennifer looks like a totally new human, and Andy even commented on it. And then Melissa's wearing a fantastic jumpsuit. She's got laryngitis, but she's wearing a fantastic black glittery jumpsuit, which I loved. So they all looked great. And we started with a Melissa package, and right off the bat, I said, ugh. I thought, ugh, we're starting with a Melissa package. And then Andy asks, like, are you still considering freezing your eggs? She says, yes. And then Jennifer comes in and kicks this thing off with a bang. She said, ugh, enough. She's never having another baby. She said, number one, she's self-absorbed. And then she says that it's all fake. She says, you're faking it. She said, I call bullshit. And it was like, wow, she's speaking for the people. I let out a sigh of relief. I thought that Jennifer is finally speaking for the people. I was so happy. Jennifer might be a little nuts on this reunion, but I loved it. I loved it. Somebody needed to finally say, and then not only did Jennifer say it, but Andy says, Callie from St. Louis said, Melissa, I'm tired of your fake storylines. The restaurant, the sister, and the baby. I love this. Callie from St. Louis, who is probably made up by producers. You know, there's no one that exists. This person does not exist. There is no Callie from St. Louis. This is a producer that was like, you know what? We're going to call Melissa out on these fake storylines, and we're going to have to make her answer for them. And it made me laugh so hard. It was so hard. Then Jen said she made up the fake-ass storyline. It's just so good. It felt like such a sense of relief. I felt like I just came. I was so relieved when this happened. So relieved. So I was really into this thing right off the bat. Then Andy starts talking to Margaret about the legal stuff. There was like a whale design that was maybe stolen. Then we start talking about Marge Sr. and how we don't know Margaret's father. And Andy says, well, would you ever want to meet your father? And she goes, he's going to want money. So what are you going to want that fucking mess for? I go to a psychic and she says that he's dead. At least I don't have to give him money, right, Andy? He's fucking dead. I go to a psychic. That's all I need. The psychic tells me he's probably dead. So who the fuck cares? Andy also like asked something about her boobs and was like telling her how to do her boobs, and I'm like, you know what, let her do her boobs however she wants. However Margaret wants to style those tits is how she wants to style them. She doesn't need some man telling her how to style the boobs. You know what I'm saying? He always does that on the reunions. He asks about the boobs or the looks, and I thought, Andy, quit it. I always get mad when he asks about the surgeries or the boobs. I just think, like, I would be like, I'll style them however the fuck I want. And Margaret did say something like, what do you want me to do? I'll do them how I want them. So she did say something like that, but I would get so frustrated. I'd be like, stop asking me about it. Like, I'll do whatever the fuck I want to my own body. Anyway, then there's a whole thing about Dolores with Frank Sr. She says he hasn't fucked Frank Sr. since Frankie was conceived. It felt to me at this point that the reunion was moving so fast. I thought we're going through these packages so quickly. They must have a lot of footage. Which I appreciate, because it felt like, didn't it feel like it was going at a quick pace. Then they talk about the Dolores and Jackie feud. Jackie says it's healthy to have emotion. She said the other women are saying like they're old school and stuff. And Jackie's like, it's okay to talk about your feelings and to feel things. And they show that clip of Jackie and Dolores fighting where Jackie says, I don't consider it a loss, Dolores. And then Dolores counters with, okay, Jackie. Favorite moment. Oh, loved it. Andy asks if it was like a little bit anti-Semitic, what Dolores was saying to Jackie. And then Jackie says no. And Jennifer gets in the mix too. Jennifer is just not letting anything go. I think Jennifer was seated at the end of that couch and she's like, you know what? I got to step up my game. And so she did everything to get the attention and it worked. It worked. We talk about the kids at college. We talk about the eating disorder, which I thought was fantastic in the season. I thought it was so compelling. And Jackie says she saw that clip of her eating the quinoa chips at breakfast and she was horrified. But you know, that stuff never goes away. It just never goes away. Also, Jennifer did a Siggy impression, which I don't think she was ever even on the show with Siggy. So I thought, this is weird. I wonder what Siggy was thinking at home. What was Siggy thinking at home as she said that? It's all I wanted, Siggy. You guys, Siggy flew too close to the sun. That first season of Siggy, when we saw her and she entered with the facelift, I thought, we're in for a wild ride with this woman. And I thought she'd stick around for a while, but then she kind of, she came and went quickly. And I didn't miss her. I don't miss Siggy, but she did fly too close to the sun. She surely did. I was a little worried that Jennifer was trying too hard this season. I thought she could get into this villain Danielle-esque territory with the women because it seemed like she was going after all of them so much, except for Tree, who, by the way, Teresa didn't say anything this whole reunion. She was just barely talking, barely talking. They do soften Jennifer by talking about her mom's situation, her brother, and how Gabby made new friends. Queen Icon legend Gabby, her daughter. I was so happy that Gabby made the new friends. Because those assholes who were treating her poorly, I did not care for. Did not care for. But I was worried a little bit that Jennifer's trying too hard. It's troublesome. But Andy does confront Jennifer about Bethany. Because Bethany had commented on an Instagram post that Jennifer was not a comedian or something like that. And then Jennifer on Watch What Happens Live sort of implied that Bethany was like the skeleton from Tales from the Crypt, which, but it was like very, it was like a messy comeback. Like Jennifer was like, I hear they're rebooting Tales from the Crypt if you want to be in on that. And it was like, what? I wish Jennifer would have just been like, you look like the skeleton from Tales from the Crypt. You know, that's what she meant. I wish she would have said it. Of course you, God plans and, or you plan and God laughs. So of course Jennifer probably had that comeback ready and then it didn't come out the way she intended. It was just so messy on Watch What Happens Live. You know, they're doing a reboot of Tales from the Crypt, and maybe you could be involved somehow, Bethany. Like, what the fuck are you trying to say, Jennifer? Just say she looks like a skeleton and move on. But again, we plan and God laughs. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the tea? Isn't that the tea? And then Jennifer says, she's like, Bethany knows she's a public figure. When you comment as a public figure, there are ramifications. And Andy says, did you lose comedy gigs? That was funny. Andy came back with a good one. I like that. Andy, I was like clapping. I'm like, you go, Andy. I like when he has a little like shady question like that. Ugh, it made me laugh. Did you lose comedy gigs? Ugh, loved it. Anyway, Melissa says that Jennifer's starving for attention, which I don't disagree with, but at least she's bringing on the reunion. I would like some of the other women to step up. I know Melissa's got laryngitis, but I would like her to step up. Dolores didn't say too much. Teresa didn't say too much. Jackie didn't say too much. Margaret, I feel like Margaret's kind of in the middle there and Jennifer's really bringing it. I need these other women to step it up. They need to look alive. Look alive out there. When I used to step on a baseball field, my dad would yell at me, look alive, Danny. Because otherwise I'd just be like staring off into the sky. Do you know what I mean? Thinking about, I don't know, Ashley Simpson or something. But it seems like these women need to look alive because Teresa was just sitting there. She looked so bored. She looked so bored. And maybe in the next episodes, you know, she was the MVP for the finale, so maybe in the next episodes she'll step it up. But this one, it was good. It started off really great, though. That stuff about Melissa made me laugh. Next time, we have the men come out. We have Danielle, who is demanding to be seated next to Andy. I can't wait for that. Can't wait for that. And that's the episode of New Jersey, you guys. So thank you all so much for listening. I want to leave you with my chat with Hannah Berner from Summer House. I hope you enjoy. Before I do, I want to say please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook, facebook.com/Pellegrino. Danny, and if you want to support this podcast, go to patreon.com/everythingiconic. Click become a patron. Donate $4 or more per month. Get access to the bonus episodes. One or more. I'm doing one a month. More importantly, the money helps support this podcast. Can't wait to see you guys next week on at the live shows. I'm so excited. They're going to be great fun. And I don't know what the release schedule is going to be like for the episodes next week. They might be a little off because of the live shows, but I will have two episodes coming out. I do have a Jessica Simpson book review, and then we'll have another one. So without further ado, please enjoy my chat. And this is how we'll end it with Hannah Berner. I love you all so much for listening. Bye-bye. This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues.
your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
I'm here with a very special guest from Summer House, Hannah. How are you doing, Hannah?
I'm doing amazing, especially now that I'm here with you in beautiful LA. It's 70 degrees. I'm obsessed. I like LA. I said it.
You said it. We were just talking about how you like LA, and I feel like you're wanting to hate on LA, but you like it.
I literally hate on LA so much because that's what New Yorkers do. It's sure. we shit on stuff. And I found this Instagram filter where it made my lips really big and my nose really small and my eyes really big. And I was like talking in like the LA Valley girl accent. And then I went on Sheena's podcast and she was like, why do you make fun of LA girls? And I was like, Sheena, don't call me out like that. It's too easy.
Do you watch Vanderpump Rules?
I do.
So what do you think of it right now?
I was obsessed with it. It was the show that, like, you know, when you're going through a hard time, you just need to watch a show to like get your mind off things. That's the show I like started from the beginning, got me through a full depression.
Sure.
I will always love them.
Yeah.
Always. I think the show, we're so in on it with them where we're like, it's like you almost, you're rooting for them, but they're trying so hard to like transition the show, which is difficult. And I do think the problems are just different. I like how they're starting to break the fourth wall a little, where it's like Britney's mad about trolls online and like the press and stuff they're getting, because that is their reality.
Right.
And they might just have to accept that they're going to have to break a lot of fourth walls to make it really real and not feel forced.
I agree. I think we need to like lean into all of that instead of just trying to dip our toe in and then back up.
Yeah.
But one of the things I love about Summer House is that it feels so fresh. It kind of gives me that vibe. I don't think you guys are as messy as they were in their heyday, because in the Vanderpump Rules heyday, it was like crazy. I always say it's like Shakespearean stuff.
Also, they don't live together. Like, I feel like if I was able to go back to my own like little apartment, I could be so much meaner. Right. But you know, you have to be in an Uber with them like right after the dinner fight. And you're like, do I want Lindsay to claw my face in the Uber?
How long are those drives to the house?
Oh my God. It's the hardest part.
Right.
Is after a full day of working or whatever we do on Friday.
Or whatever we do.
At 1 p.m. we get in a car. And one of us has to drive. I don't, because I barely have a license, because I'm from the city. But
sure,
it's basically a 4-hour drive.
4 hours? And you guys are doing it each weekend?
Yep.
So what's going on in the car rides? Are you talking about what's going on? Or do you try to save some of that for when you get to the house?
Well, sometimes the car rides are filmed and sometimes they're not. If they're not filmed, we sleep. It's the one rule with reality TV is save it for camera.
Right.
Like, make sure that you don't like have an authentic moment of like something important in your life when the cameras aren't there during Summer House filming. That's just like how you ruin a show. So the hardest thing is when like I might want to tell Paige something, but we're like in the car and I'm just like, okay, just go to sleep. But I just have a huge mouth and I can't hold back.
Yeah. Do you ever get in a point where during the week you're with Paige and you guys are talking about something important? Do you ever think like, I need to film this? Like, I feel like
we kind of avoid each other during the week sometimes, because we don't like, the beautiful thing about reality TV is it captures those moments of like when someone realizes something or gets upset about something, and you can't reenact it. It will never be good if you're like reenacting something or faking it. That's what I think makes our show so great, is because of the hidden cameras, like you really capture every moment in that house.
The hidden cameras are my favorite part, because I just love like a night vision shot. I love you guys getting in and out of bed. Like, it's very voyeuristic.
That's why when I watch the episodes, I literally have no clue what they're going to show. Mm. And I see so many like
scenes of myself where I'm like, had no idea that that was something they were interested in showing people.
Right. How are you feeling now that this season's airing? Because this, I feel like you're settled in now.
Yeah.
Last season was your first season. You must feel a little bit more comfortable now with everything, right?
1,000%. Right. I'm not going to lie. I was scared last season. Like, I didn't know how it was going to affect my life. Let's be honest. When me and Paige got on it, people weren't like, oh my God, congrats. It was like, oh, that show.
You're going on that one?
Yeah. Like, we didn't know if it was good or not. And it was kind of a risk. And then we got such great positive feedback. And I feel like I was able...
You guys saved the show. Like, the show was really... It was, like, really shitty. And then you guys...
Oh, my God. Thank you.
I hated it.
I do.
Personally, I did not care
Paige
for it.
And
now
joke,
I love it.
We joke that we're the strongest relationship in the house. Yeah, we still talk, like, 3 times a day. She called me this morning crying because she has the flu. I was like, If you have corona, we can't be friends anymore.
Wait, I know. You just came into my house. If you brought Paige's coronavirus in here, I'm going to be so upset.
I know. That would be super mean of me. But she's fine. It's a normal flu. Thank God.
Yeah,
but yeah, we are so close. And this season, I was able, I think, to come in with more opinions because last season, I'm not one to, like, just start confrontation if I don't feel fully educated on things. Like, if I'm going to say something, I want to be right. I think after spending all winter with everyone, I had opinions about Kyle and Amanda. I had opinions about Carl. I had opinions about Lindsay. I knew these people now. Mm. So going to the house, I was ready to be like, we're family now and I'm not holding anything back. Yeah.
Yeah. I worry a little bit about Paige because I love Paige on the show, but then this season she's got the boyfriend and it feels like she's half in the show and half out.
Yeah.
And that worries me a little bit. Like, and it almost feels like watching it, she feels that way too. I know you guys had a conversation on camera and I was reading into it, like Paige saying, well, I'm not going to be here this weekend. And you could tell she was kind of struggling with saying that.
Yeah.
And I was thinking what she's really saying is, I'm not going to be filming next weekend. And you guys were saying, well, you're not going to come next weekend. Was that what's going on?
Yeah. There is that, like, are you choosing, like, this adventure with us on this show? Or are you choosing kind of having a boyfriend? And can it be both? And I think so many girls deal with that. Mm-hmm. And I think she's one that was, like, always wanted to meet her Prince Charming and, like, live that lifestyle. But now she's become such an entrepreneur and I think she's kind of stuck in between two worlds. And I think sometimes it's hard to show that because it's very fourth wall again. Mm-hmm. So she definitely gets more involved in the show later. I think in the beginning, she didn't know how to navigate her boyfriend in the show. But we, as you see, like me and her, our relationship gets tested later, which is like one of the most insane things of the season.
It was interesting. We're talking about Vanderpump Rules and the same thing happened with Stassi a few seasons back where she's dating this guy who didn't want her on the show. And then she kind of stepped back. Did Paige's guy, is she still with the guy?
Yeah.
Did he not want her on the show or was
he
it just
is 100% supportive of her being on the show?
Good.
But as you can tell, he does not film.
He's just not interested
in filming.
It's
like a Randall situation.
You're right. okay. I want to talk about Jordan being back this week. He's no longer on the show. What's going on? Is he going to be back a little bit more or what's happening?
Yeah, you're going to see him. I'm the one that brought him back because I just think he always brings the most insane drama.
I'm so glad you brought him back because I thought he was so, like, people hated him last season, but I thought it was, like, in a very important way that we hate people on reality TV sometimes. Like, I thought we need that presence.
Yeah.
So when he wasn't coming back, I was like, uh-oh.
I think I was kind of like, I sat him down and I think he was hurt that he wasn't asked back and he wasn't going to, like, come at all. And I was like, Jordan, you need a fucking redemption. You need to come in that house and show these people who the fuck you are. And I, like, pumped him up. So, like, he comes in hot.
I can't wait. I cannot wait. Speaking of casting, is Danielle in the main cast?
Danielle's a friend this season.
Okay.
I think, like, she...
Did she know that? Because wasn't there, like, photos of, like... There was, like, cast photos where some she was in it and some she's not. It's like, what's going on?
She got... This is the thing with friends. If you get involved in a lot of drama, like, it's like Danielle Staub. Not comparing Danielle Staub to Danielle, but slightly different. I mean,
could you imagine if Danielle Staub just showed up in your house? I would die. And if she just, like, walked in and was like, I'm staying with you guys this
summer. I would love that.
It would be amazing.
Put her in a room with Lindsay and let them go at it. And then have her hook up with Carl and then watch... Oh, my God.
That'd be amazing.
I was trying to get... Kelly Ben Simone on too.
Hannah, you're doing the Lord's work for all
I'm
of us.
I'm trying, you guys.
Kelly Ben Simone would be so good.
I'm like, I love Vanderpump, but I'm like ready for a Real Housewives in New York or New Jersey, like come in and show us, like, because they have
the
little Hamptons moments and I'm like, it's somewhere else in
I
there.
I know. Weren't you guys close to Bethany's house?
I think we were. It depends. Where were we in the highway? I don't know.
Yeah. That house, I just was reading about that house, which Ramona Singer had said on the show that she was going to lose money on it. And then it turns out she did lose money on it.
I just was reading about it. Ramona's right. Comment.
Ramona knows her shit. Like, I mean, she's a monster, but
she
knows her stuff. She knows her real estate. But I completely love that idea. Let's bring in some Kelly Ben Simone. Let's bring in whoever. Jules Weinstein was from New York. She just was, I don't know, damaging her ex-husband's car or something. Like,
yes,
let's get her in the house.
That's what we need. Kyle's BMW. It needs to be scratched up. Somebody needs to do it. And they're like, you're right. Our drama is like not as like, I'd say as intense because we are friends, but it's much more relatable drama where it's like, oh, my friend did that to me last year and I didn't handle it like that.
I'm remembering Brandi Glanville like slashing tires and it popped in my head as we're talking about this. And I just have to say she tweeted recently like outing Carl.
That is
what was that about?
We all were in shock. I think like Paige and I texted about it and I was like, does she know him? Does she know something we don't know? Like, does she not understand that that's like not okay to do? She lost her damn mind.
She just has a bottle of wine sometimes and just hops online and whatever happens on
or
the keyboard happens.
She was like, nobody's straight. And we're like, are you outing yourself? Like, I guess, you know what?
She's out as a bisexual, I think.
I think she's embracing her like bisexuality right now and like, that's great for you, but you don't need to throw Carl. Carl's been through enough on national TV with his penis.
Didn't he got a blowjob or something from a guy I think was on the show?
That's why, like,
but that doesn't mean you're bisexual. I mean, that doesn't
but
mean.
But I also think that, and Steven, like, their friendship will never be the same.
What happened with Steven? Do you guys see him at all?
Actually.
You didn't know him, right?
Oh my God. I didn't really know him. I interviewed him once when I worked for Betches, which was hilarious because I was like, oh, reality TV. Look at me now. But he apparently made up with Kyle. Like they saw each other post Watch What Happens Live with Kristen Doty. I'm giving you all the dirt.
I love that.
And he basically was like, apologized to Kyle and Kyle apologized or whatever. And I think Steven's actually sober right now. Oh. And he's like going through some kind of transformation. So we wish Steven the best.
Wish him the best. What about the Workus twins?
The Workus twins, I actually had never met, but I met Lauren at a party after I filmed the first season and she was super nice to me.
She probably hated you though.
She could have been a bitch and she wasn't. And then I found out she just got engaged to a friend of, Carl's friend's brother, basically. She got married too. Got engaged just now in California.
God.
So congrats to her.
Good for her.
It kind of shows like a door closes and you don't even know what other doors open.
Sure.
While Carl's like fighting with Lindsay in a bathroom.
I wonder what if they watch the show. Okay, Carl and Lindsay. What I can't tell week to week if it's fake or not. I know a lot of people have been DMing me. I've gotten tons of DMs people saying that they saw them without cameras making out and it's all completely real. I truly don't even care if it's real or not because I'm very entertained by it. Like
the thing with the cast is that if we feel like anyone is doing a fake story for camera, you get
called out.
You get called out. Like it's not cool. Like we're putting our lives on the line. So we had a similar experience where we're like, are they fucking with us? Mm-hmm. Are they fucking with us? But they're, I think because they come from such a friendship, there's so much like love between them and love and hate is so close together. And then the sexual tension was so weird. Like the kisses on the cheek and like him hitting her stomach. I'm like, what is that? Do you guys just be friends?
Truly.
If a guy hit my stomach when I was like showing my tits and he just started to hit my gut, I would kick him in the balls.
I don't want anyone even going near my stomach. Like I don't want you looking at it. I don't want you touching it. Like I don't even like when my boyfriend Matt will sometimes like poke or like, you know,
don't
playfully
touch, if you
poke
touch my
or,
belly button, I'll
no,
lose it.
Right. I also have a very sensitive belly button.
I hate that belly button. Crazy. That's like my biggest pet peeve.
Yeah.
If they like put their finger in your belly button.
Oh my God.
That's how I snap.
I am right there with you. I recently got my appendix taken out and you have a scar and they go in your belly button. And
oh,
so
no.
Then I had to TMI.
You tried to put his dick in your belly button.
No. That would never happen because I don't like anything here, but it was like, you know, you have to like scrub it, like, you know, you have to keep everything clean and then put the scar gel on and stuff. And it was just like, it's torture for
that
me every time.
That is so graphic. Anyway, I wish we didn't go there.
We're going to have to cut that. The reviews on iTunes are just being like, I don't know why he was talking about his belly button.
He talked about the whole time. It's disgusting.
So Carl and Z, are they still together?
You will see. They're very close. I'll give you that update. But you see their relationship evolve. A lot of people were like, well, one of them has to leave the house, obviously. And it's like, their relationship's so fucking fucked up and complex that they go on a lot of different journeys together.
I'm really into it. Like I said, I don't care if it's fake because I find it so entertaining. But I ultimately don't think... I think they tried.
I think they really tried. Yeah, yeah. But I also think that this is like the reality that happens. There's like a fake... Okay, there's reality, then reality TV, which creates a new reality. I think in that new reality, whatever they were trying to do, you still don't know if the other person's going to come through for you. Mm. If they were like, let's see what happens if we like try to hook up. The other person can throw you under the bus. And like, I think that's also why there was so much anger, because Lindsay felt like we were going to give this a chance. And then he like freaked out. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. So there is like a false reality in the new reality. That sounds so meta, but do you
very
understand
inception.
What I'm trying to say?
Yeah. I think Lindsay's great at reality TV.
She's incredible, and to the point that like I think she's an evil genius, and I'm scared of her.
Yeah.
And she hates when I say that I'm scared of her, but it's out of respect, Lindsay. Okay, I don't want a DM after this.
She's probably not listening to this.
Hopefully not. You'd be surprised.
Okay, Hannah, you and Luke. I love Luke, but I'm a little bit worried that he's going to disappoint me down the road, because the Bravo men often do.
I know.
So what's going on?
Well, my thing is, in New York, I was dating and I had been seeing someone who was like a friend. And then I like, he was the kind of guy that I just kept wanting to be around. Like I was like,
Armand, right?
Armand. I remember like he was in my friend group. And once he was like, do you want to get coffee? And I just like, didn't want to leave the coffee date. And rarely in my life do I not want to leave a social interaction. Sure. And I was like, okay, I always go for like the hot, big, stupid idiots. This guy is like, I'm connecting with emotion. I'm like, Hannah, this is what you have to do. Stop with the douchebags. This is a nice, cool guy. And then walk into the house. Kyle didn't even tell me he was bringing Luke. This guy walks in and I'm like, these motherfuckers.
Really
these
testing.
These motherfuckers are testing me. But at first I really was like, yeah, Luke is hot, but I've dated hot guys that ruin my life and I'm just not in the mood for that right now. Yeah. So that's why I think people are like, how do you have so much self-control with Luke? And it's like, because I've been to therapy for 2 years because of like a hot famous dude.
Sure.
Like,
wait, so who was the hot famous dude?
I dated some comedian who was like, you can figure it out. If you Google it around, okay, you'll figure it out. But anyway, yeah, it just, sometimes the hot famous dudes don't make you happy.
And who was the, can you tell me who the comedian?
His name is Dan, actually.
I'll forget to Google.
His name
okay,
is Dan.
It's Dan. Okay. So we'll Google Hannah Dan.
Yeah. So, but he did inspire me to get into comedy and do stand up, which is what I'm doing now. And I learned so much about that life. So there's reason for it. But when I saw Luke, I was like, you're hot, you're fun. I'm 28. If I was 23, I'd be like, I want Jay to be my boyfriend. I'm 28. I don't need that shit. Yeah. So I really had that attitude.
That's good. So, but what happens next with Luke?
I go on a date with him and things change.
So is there a chance for romantic, like, relationship with him, or do you think it would just be like a physical?
I think I went into it very physical and I was like, I don't think that he can emotionally like give me what I want.
Sure.
And we like explore that though, because you have to.
He's able to pull off hats that I could never. Like the hat work he's doing on that show, I mean, I look at that and I'm like, wow, he's pulling it off. And there are hats that I would see at a Tommy Bahama and I'd say, what? No one needs that. And then he wears them and I'm like so attracted to him.
He's so obnoxiously good looking to the point like it's annoying. Mm-hmm. Like I'm like, stop looking at me. It's just like
that
a
scene
lot.
Where you were watching him make jewelry. It was literally like the opening of Magic Mike XXL. Like, do you remember that movie where Channing
yes.
Tatum's character is like, I don't know, building or something.
Yes.
Wielding.
I literally jerk off to that movie all the time.
Sure. Who does
when
that?
He does like the dance with his fucking hips. Anyway.
He's just like jumping on top of wood tables. And yeah. It's very bizarre, but it's still like,
and
that's
look,
what I was thinking
he
of.
He had like this like kind of smut on his face, but it was like perfectly contouring his perfect. I don't know. Mm-hmm. He's just so good looking. I joke that I feel like when I'm with him, it's like I want to make a wish date.
Oh,
like
yeah,
I feel
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
But I do think it's important for America to see like, yeah, there's hot dudes, but like, is he the right hot dude for you? And that's what I try to explore.
He also posted that he coaches little kids
oh
in
God,
hacking.
So
and I'm
cute.
Like, stop it. Like, it's too much.
So
but that's
cute.
Why I keep thinking, I'm like, the shoe's going to drop eventually Because I actually also thought I used to think Kyle was like the greatest looking man on Bravo, and I still think he's very attractive, mm-hmm. Kyle. But you know, things change.
Things do change, but yeah, we learn more about Luke, and you just learn
that
we
like him more.
I think he learned that he has more demons and he's more complex than you think. Mm-hmm. And I also think with these very good looking guys, I stay away from them mostly because they live a different life than us.
Sure.
Everything he says, people laugh at.
So you're saying I'm not a really good looking guy?
I'm saying I don't trust you.
Fucking rude.
I'm saying I don't trust
okay.
you.
Okay. Great.
You're so hot. Like if you were straight, we'd be fucking right now on this table. Don't want to make you uncomfortable. I'm sorry if that was
weird. How dare you?
Literally, you're so my type. No. Anyway, you're like, okay,
you're
stop.
Not mine, but I'm sorry. I need a dick.
Yeah, okay. Do you know who I want to fuck? You, Ben, and Ben from Watch Your Crappins.
Oh, I love Ben.
Both
and
of you. I want to have a threesome with.
Oh, thank you.
I'll get you drunk one night.
Okay.
But Luke, like these good looking guys, they live a different life. Like if they're late for something, no one cares. Like they just live a certain, mm-hmm. and then he actually hates.
Also straight men in general. I think like
right.
straight white guys, men. It's like, oh my God. Like the thing that
I'm so annoyed with straight white men
too,
right now. Like I literally can't even tolerate them. They're
I was just
so
reading
annoying.
Something, someone online complaining about like there being too, this was someone tweeted it and I saw someone retweet it, but they were saying there's too many movies coming now with diversity. Mm-hmm. And I was like, literally like 98% of all the entertainment we watch is made
by
and for straight white men. So it's like, now that there's a couple movies coming out where it's like, we have a black female lead or you know, whatever.
Yeah. I'm working on this new stand-up bit where I'm like, it's a really hard time for white men, you guys. Like there's fewer opportunities than ever for them and we have to root for them. And I get into it.
Yeah. Well, good. I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about Kyle and Amanda. Mm-hmm. They hate each other, yes.
I always say they love each other, but they don't like each other.
No, like it is like shocking to me that they're still together. And like she looks at him with such disgust on that show. Like I've never seen it. And him too, vice versa.
I knew there were issues from the first night when like Kyle snapped at us and she immediately took our side, as in like she's probably been on our side all the time where he snaps at her for like stupid things. And even admitted it later, like it reminded me of Amanda on her phone. And it's like, I'm triggered by it because I'm like a messy person and I'm very independent. And like for a guy to tell me what to do or tell me I'm not good enough, I just fucking lose it.
So will they make it down the aisle? I don't believe so.
They have a date.
They do have a date.
Yes.
What was she saying on the show? Like they had a venue, but it fell through. Was that a lie?
It did fall through. Okay. But I think it's like, it was kind of thing like venues fall through. You can like look at more.
Will we have to see the wedding on the show?
I love how you phrase that. I think ideally they would obviously like it to be filmed, okay. but nothing's been confirmed.
If it does get filmed, which I wouldn't mind seeing it, but can we maybe just make it like a half an episode or something? Like I can't do the Jackson, Brittany, Vanderpump Rules thing where it's 7 episodes of the season.
I also think that like Kyle's so proud of the wedding journey. And that was also the tension in the first episode where like we were drunk. We'd been drinking since 3. We were trying to have fun. And he wanted to go on a whole like 20-minute speech about what a great fiance he is and planning his own wedding and shit like that. And that's why I was like, I'm not doing this right now. And like he wanted that soapbox and like, I can just imagine.
You guys were
like,
just laughing.
It was. He said on a podcast that he doesn't take back what he did, and I'm like, well, I fucking still think it was ridiculous when you said that most fiancés aren't as good as you.
Right.
So, yeah.
So if you said they have a date and they'll probably get married. So how long do you think they'll last?
Everyone keeps asking me this. I think that if they can work through their shit and grow together, they definitely can last. But if they don't work through their shit, it's not good.
Sure. Sure. Jules, is she a single white femaling page?
I think.
Or
that,
do you think that's like an editing?
I think the editing obviously helped it, but I do think that she, of all the people, she just like idolizes Paige, and Paige can do no wrong, and Paige is perfect. And I think subconsciously, like wanting to fit in, she started to do some stuff, but like Paige doesn't care, and Paige like is like whatever. It wasn't.
Yeah, it's sort of a compliment. Twisted way.
I think producers, I think they might have brought her on. They thought like maybe her and Paige would like be jealous of each other, but it went like the opposite way where they both just like are obsessed. I mean, Jules is obsessed with Paige and they like each other.
Does Jules get in the mix with the drama and stuff more? Or does she
gets in the mix with the drama because Jordan comes back and they have a history together.
Oh, right. Okay. So that I think airs tonight as of this
Which
recording.
Is like, you, there's already so many good storylines and then that comes and your mind just explodes.
Wow, I'm excited.
It's so good, Danny. It's so good.
What else do we have to look forward to on this show?
You get to, me, Amanda and Paige's relationship get really tested. And it's funny because I would talk to Paige like beginning of summer and I was like, we would never fight. And if we did, it would have to be like so fucking epic. Like I'd have to like fuck Perry or something. And she's like, I know. And then fast forward, we're like crying and Perry? Yelling at each other. It was good.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Yeah.
What does Perry look like?
Perry is this like sexy Persian
guy. She's older.
She loves Persians.
Okay.
He's like golden skin. He owns a bunch of restaurants. He's owns a financial tech company.
He's really rich.
They've always been like, but the way he talks to her, I always loved. Like they, before they were dating, they were friends and they would like end phone calls being like, love you. Like they were very close and safe with each other. And I think she just was scared to be like, if I start fucking him, we're going to get married.
Wait, so not to go back.
Yeah.
But Kyle and Amanda, if they do get married, sorry, if they do get married, like, will they still go to the summer house or like, what happens then? Like,
I think like Kyle is so committed to it. Like it's his, like he might get a summer house tattoo on his ass with Loverboy under it.
How is Loverboy? I haven't tried it.
It's good.
Really?
Okay. There's like three different flavors and you pick kind of what's good for you.
I want to try it.
I mean, I drank too much of it this summer. I can't even look at it now, but I think because it's like clearly a marketing for his lover boy, like he's going to try to stay as long as possible. They'll probably have a full family of kids. They'll like hide in the pantry.
60, just in the pantry.
Kyle's like, the margarita machine's ready.
I sort of like the weird weird age differences. Like it's like, because yeah, Kyle isn't he 30?
Kyle's
late
like 30s? 38. Okay. But we got into it.
Like that's weird.
It is weird. But like,
that's mean of me.
I just hated
it. Ageist of me.
It is ageist.
But Jules is how old? Like 20?
26.
Yeah. Like that's weird to me that like a 38 year old man is living with a 25 year old girl.
It's weird when a 38 year old man is yelling at you.
Right. That's
when you're not dating him. Mm-hmm. That's what's fucking weird. And that's when you need to go get therapy.
I didn't even think about this age. Now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, this is weird.
This happens multiple times when Carl and Kyle, a 35 and 38 year old man, are yelling at me because of like some petty drama. That's when
that's
I like
weird.
Reflect and I'm like, I don't like this or want to be here. And you two need
Yeah, help. That's bizarre.
And I need help too.
Yeah.
But I
well, we all need help, to be honest, Hannah.
We do. But I remember I got mad because the first scene, Carl was like, it's a gen gap. And I said in an interview with them, I was like, first of all, there's no generational gap. Like, Lindsay's 33, I'm 28. Like, you guys are old, but you're guys and you're less mature. No one's like, I wish I was as mature as Carl and Kyle.
Yeah.
No one's ever said that. So stop trying to play like you're not understanding our culture.
Sure.
But then Kyle, I like was really pissed about it. So then whenever Kyle like posts emojis or something, I'll be like, oh my God, it's so cool that guys in your generation understand emojis. Like it's because they'll use that card when they want to. Like they'll be like, oh, Paige, just post on Instagram. And I'm like, you post on Instagram as much as we do. Like leave us alone.
Right.
I talk so much shit on these podcasts. It's so fun.
No, I love it. Who else do you hate in the house?
What it else literally do you hate? Goes by the month.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we're a literal like siblings where like you... I'll fucking hate someone. Like me and Lindsay got in a huge fight over the winter. And then like I saw her at an event. She was like, I love you. I'm sorry. And I'm like, I love you too. But like at any moment, Lindsay and I, our relationship's really evolved. And I actually really like where we are right now.
Okay.
But she's one of those people that like, you have to fight for the friendship.
Yeah.
Like you need to earn it.
Sure. Do you think there'll be a reunion this season? We didn't get one last season.
I hope so.
Want one.
Yeah, it was super annoying because I have to deal with all the messages of being like, why isn't there a reunion? Yeah. And I was like, do you think if I had control, we would not have a reunion?
I'll host it. If Andy's busy, I'm right there. I'm ready to get in.
Oh, yeah, that would be amazing. Honestly, he can't be doing it forever. But I do think that Luke might help us get a reunion because he just invited Luke on Watch What Happens Live, and Luke's been on for, what, 3 episodes? So I think that Andy might love Luke, and hopefully that'll get us in.
Okay, well, I think we definitely need one. It could be a little one in the clubhouse or something like that, or you guys could come over to my house.
Do it on the street. I don't care.
Yeah, like, I just would, like, at least, like, an hour, just you guys sit down.
Yeah.
I need it.
I think there's stuff that needs to be said. Even watching it, like, I get worked up.
If there is a reunion, will Danielle be there?
Oh, yeah, I didn't even answer the question. The thing with Danielle is, like, yeah, she got it. She gets in so many episodes that like she kind of becomes.
They
a
were
part
like,
of
"Well, whatever, you're around.
Yeah,
we'll throw you in the." You guys were doing the cast photo, and she was just lurking in the background. They're like, "Come
she
on!"
She was literally watching us, and we were like, "Get in!"
Did you ever watch The Comeback with Lisa Kudrow?
No,
there was like this scene. She's in a sitcom, and she's like the Aunt Sassy. And there's a scene where they're filming the poster or shooting the poster, and she's like in the way background of the. And then finally she tries to like go to the foreground of the image and they're like, get back there. Like, that's Danielle.
Danielle, like her job is actually, she has the most intense corporate job of all of us. So they'll have weekends where like she has to be in Virginia for some meeting. Right. So like, I think it worked out schedule wise for everyone.
I just can't figure her out because she seems like seven different people in the course of the amount of seasons she's been on. That's me. She's gorgeous though. No,
she's gorgeous.
And she seems like a nice gal.
Yeah, she's super nice. Hannah, I think oh, Luke is calling.
Should answer?
I will. Hey, I'm on a podcast.
Oh, really? Are you talking about me?
Yeah, I'm with Danny Pellegrino. It's one of like the top Bravo podcasts. I have you on speaker. What do you want to say?
What do you want to clear the air?
What's up, Burn Dog? How's LA treating you?
Ask Luke, how's his first season?
Did you decide you're going to move there yet or what?
Honestly, I'm kind of liking it. Should we move in together here?
Yeah, that's such a lie. You're not there.
Danny wants to... Listen. What?
What's that? Go ahead. What do you want?
Danny wants to know, how would you describe your first season in a couple sentences?
Hannah Burner, wild, crazy, not enough sleep, hungover.
He just uses random words. This is what we're dealing with. He's a male model.
You're really hot, Luke.
Are you? He says you're really hot. Are you excited for Watch What Happens Live tonight?
Yeah, I'm looking. I can't wait. I'm actually in the subway, so I'm a little disheveled. Give me a break here, Burn Dog.
Okay.
We love you.
Well, we love you. I'll talk to you later. What?
All right, love you too. Bye. Call me later.
Right. Okay, bye. He's obsessed.
Oh,
with
he
me.
Said he loves you. He and he called me. You just out of the blue.
Yeah.
He loves you.
Oh my God. I don't want to give anything away, but that's our relationship.
That's the relationship. Wow. Yeah. Sneak peek. Hannah, what can you tell us about your comedy show? You're on tour right now.
Oh my gosh. So I'm in LA because I have a comedy show in LA and I'm going to San Francisco this weekend. I have Texas coming up, Connecticut, New Jersey.
She's
Chicago,
all over
Madison.
The place.
I first did stand up for my Burning in Hell live podcast. I think similar to you, like I opened with like 10 minutes and then I fell in love with it. And I was like, I need to do 20 on my next one. And now I'm doing like 40 minutes to Q&A. And I've been doing it on the grind in New York City every night. And I'm in love with it. I think it's because I always loved writing, as you can tell by like my tweets and my like past.
Your Twitter is so good.
Thank you. Yeah. And I also miss the like performance aspect of tennis. Oh, I've been waiting to bring it up. So stand-up's been like a natural next progression in my career, and it's been so fun and humbling, but also challenging, and I've enjoyed it.
And so where can people find tickets?
HannahBurner.com.
And
easy
so
peasy.
Go see you, and will there be more dates too?
There definitely will be more dates. Tampa's coming up. I'm going to get them soon. Working on Charlotte and shit like that.
She's all over the country. DM you. Go to your website. Where can people find you on social media?
Being Burns at BEINGBERNZ.
And follow you on Twitter because your Twitter is so funny.
Thank
I mean, you,
you
also post your tweets on
yeah.
it. All the social media is fantastic.
Yeah. Oh my God. Thank you.
Anything else you want to say that we need to know?
Tell me what you guys think of this season of Summer House.
What a good host I am. I'm like, what else do you
I know,
say
you're like
something?
Anything. I'm like, Venmo me at HBurner. But no, I'm so grateful to come on this show.
I'm so happy to have you.
I love it so much. And thanks for supporting Summer House always, because I know you've been.
I just want people to watch. Like, I keep saying it. I want people to watch it because I think it's like so fresh. It's so fun. It gives me the feeling that I used to get when I was watching Vanderpump Rules, like early-ish.
Oh my God.
Which is, and it's, I swear to you, I think it's one of the most excited, the shows I look forward to watching the most.
Oh my God.
And I don't recap it on the podcast. And selfishly, I think it's because I just want to watch it and like not take notes.
Mm-hmm.
But I swear that's not bullshitting you or the listeners. Like it's what I look forward to watching the most because a lot of the other shows are feeling stale to me.
Yeah.
And Summer House just feels really fresh.
There's definitely not like a system or a strategy that like, it's really just insanity on our show.
Yeah.
Yeah. You never can
predict
anything.
It's a different vibe than all the other shows on Bravo. And then also I feel like it's lived in enough. Like the producers, editors, and cast kind of, we know the format. It's not like we're trying to figure that out. So it's lived in, but then It's
like once you know the rules, you could break the rules almost.
It's like the Scream movies. Remember that? Part two is where you break the rules.
It's Psychoville.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone probably gets murdered at the end. That's what I'm going to say.
Hannah, thank you so much. I love you so much. Thank you for listening.
You too.